So I find myself in another state. We've got shovels. We're digging into the ground for bones. Another victim takes me to a place here in Ohio. And we go to a graveyard, and they're pointing out places. Another one, in the midst of counseling, wants me to go to a set of buildings where rituals occurred, where they were abused, where they had been taken. So we go. Again and again, over the years, about 25 years worth, we have gone to buildings, caverns, deep woods, underground places, wealthy homes that had double basements, place after place after place, again and again and again, victims of satanic ritual abuse, victims of what they believe is an agenda that involves the Antichrist. Well, what do you do with it? I mean, it's one thing to say that it's too bizarre. And I've watched individuals just absolutely, from the very beginning, dismiss it, even in law enforcement. So in going back into some of the cold cases, in going back into some of the things that we have going on here, I mean, they're not really cold cases. They're things, cases that are not solved and are definitely not over. One of a richly abused girl sitting in an office, her arms are all bloodied. We'd been searching the area for 10 years. By God's providence, we find her in an office one day, sitting there as we walk in looking for a different apartment, simply to take food to a individual that needed food. But here was the victim. All of a sudden, she and subparts began to tell us everything. All that we'd been praying for 10 years, the places where we looked, and the ultimate place of an old black flame, Nazi-oriented satanic coven, well, it was mentioned. Yes, they wanted out. But in the midst of getting them out, in the midst of wanting to work with them and even find more, they were taken. They were taken to the place where the father and the grandfather, old Nazis. Oh, yes, we've gone there. They've told us not to return. They're going to call the police. A lot of places that we are in right now and places that we have been, we're not going to talk about those, but I will mention that a case in Mount Vernon, Ohio right now. Now, it may have nothing to do with satanic ritual abuse, but we've got a case of four missing adults since last Wednesday. They find the 13-year-old girl. Now, that's about an hour or so from my home. We've been down there. Friends of ours allowed us to stay in their home on, well, the Apple Valley Lake, the resort area. We enjoyed ourselves down there. We ate down in a little restaurant in Mount Vernon, and we've been down there for other, well, issues. But Mount Vernon, where a guy that had come to us here in the greater Akron area over the years to give information, to tell us about corruption and the things that are going on behind the scenes. You know, the secret stuff that we're talking about this week, the stuff that includes the shadow regime. I'm going to tell you right now, the cases that we deal with and are talking about, they're connected to the larger conspiracy. They're connected to, well, what was the Finders case, the McMartin school case, the Franklin cover-up, many of those, including the Transformation of America and the Kathy O'Brien case. There's just simply so many of them. And I want to say, first of all, tonight, welcome to the victims that do listen, that do download after the show. Welcome to the perpetrators that sometime listen to see what we're going to say. And let me say welcome to all those who've been listening to us consistently and those who download in the archives. Listen, we're glad that you're here. We simply want you to know that in this hour, we pray God's blessing, God's strength, God's direction, God's salvation, healing, and deliverance. Well, the hand of God to move in lives all over the world. And live right now. Well, I want you to know that you can write into us. We also have an alert line. So I'm going to say, especially towards the end, I'm calling out to the victims. I'm calling out to perpetrators. I'm calling out to the victims to re-pray about unleashing the information and the casework and maybe even some of those who are adults now. I mean, you're older now. You're from the old McMartin case. You're from the, you know about the finders. And you want to get out. You want to tell. You want to do something. We have an alert line. You can take a look at shatterthedarkness.net. That's the website for everybody new listening. This is Russ Dizdar. The website, www.shatterthedarkness.net. Hundreds and hundreds of other MP3s and training courses, materials. We're trying to get up more and more for you. Weekend broadcasts and everything else. So check it out. We hope that you are being benefited. We know that now there are literally hundreds of thousands of those that download month to month to month. And across the board, we've seen in the last month over 4 million hits on the site. So we know it's active. We know there are many of you listening. And we deeply appreciate those who are just consistent, those of you that pray and remember us. And we appreciate that. Some of the cold cases, I'm looking over some of the broader cases and some of the ones we've been involved in. I'm going to go over tonight evidences, memory, diversion, and simply ask the question then, why and where did 10 million worldwide, maybe 100 million victims of this kind of technology and this kind of stuff come from? I mean, that's got to be answered in some way. You know, for some, just to kind of look from afar and say it's bizarre. I was reading some of the articles today about the old cases and, you know, oh, it's bizarre or it's, you know, crazy, or they look for all kinds of excuses. But I see very little good investigation going on, pursuit. And so we want to have trace evidence. We want to have the forensics down. But I want you to know that it deals with, well, the real underground stuff. It's going to involve supernatural engagement. It will definitely involve spiritual warfare and maybe even physical. That's right. Phone calls, threats, visits to your home, markings on your car, ritual warfare against you on a spiritual level. Maybe even attempted physical harm. So I'm going to kind of be a little bit off the cuff tonight from the regular way we do things. And I'm just going to go into telling you about some of the cases and touching on some of the broader, well-known cases. But the appeal tonight is, I believe there are former law enforcement. May I just say hello to a good man, Charlie, and to a good man, Jack. And to a good individual that handed me a slip of paper at the last conference, offering, I haven't forgot, just simply a name and a phone number, offering your services if we need you. Well, we're going to call you. We're going to need you. As a matter of fact, we're going to do some recruiting. We're going to broaden our base of workers and volunteers and so forth. That's why we're also asking for thousands of you. And please let me know that you're doing this, to pour out prayer over us. I have some of you that write to me, and you write with, really engaging, and you write about what you feel God has spoken to you, and you write scripture verses, and you write things to us, and I want you to know that some of them are astounding, and confirmation. And just do what the Lord leads you to do. Don't do anything more than that, other than the great, powerful intercessory prayer. I'm going to say that when it comes to the cold or the old cases are just cases that have not been yet solved in a lot of different ways. Perpetrators have not been nailed, which means they may do things again and again and again. And victims may not be healed. That means the living victims. Sometimes it is just repressed. You know what? You and I both repress memory. We all have memories that we don't like to think about. I mean, maybe they're embarrassing things. Maybe they're things that we did that we wouldn't want to tell a soul. And you get embarrassed when you meet somebody and they say, I remember when you were like this, or I remember when you did this, or maybe your parents do that to you sometimes, even when you're older. And they tell about things that you would rather not have told. You know, it's like memories are inside of you. All these encoded thousands upon thousands upon thousands, some say in brain-mind studies, every bit of information, everything is encoded, long-term, short-term memories, all of that. We're going to talk about memory specifically, but I was mentioning earlier about the case in Ohio right now that is live. Many people are praying about. People are driving down to Mount Vernon, Ohio. They're wondering where the mother, the little boy, which is the brother of the 13-year-old, and the other friend, the woman, 42-year-old, I believe, where they're at. They caught the man that had the 13-year-old girl bound and gagged and hidden down in his basement. They caught that man. Now, I'm going to tell you this, honestly, he looks extremely familiar to me. I'm going to look into his background. We might even travel down to Mount Vernon. Now, nothing here smells of ritual abuse at this point. I mean, the weird thing was they shut down an entire college in the midst of the search for the four. They found the one little 13-year-old, and the assumption now is that something's been done and the others have been killed, blood has been found, and we'll see and hear more. And that's just horrific to hear about crime and about, you know, this kind of loss, and it's just sad in every case. But go back to John Wayne Gacy. Go back to Jeffrey Dahmer. Go back to Ted Bundy. Go back to the Ripper case in Chicago. If you don't know about the Ripper case, go ahead and take a look on the web and read about the Ripper case in Chicago. And it is unbelievable that it would go on. And again, when you read about the case, if you have any books you've read on it, if you've looked into it at all, you will, you got to realize that you're only hearing part of the entire level. As much as some of these cases completely burn my britches, bring me to tears, move me in motivation to do better, to do good, to seek God, to help victims, let me tell you what also is involved. What also is involved is simply the issue of not wanting to see it repeated. That in a fallen, broken world where sin is real and sin addictions can occur, where Satan can enter in, where there is, a shadow regime, just like the old Nazis. And I'm watching some of the films, I'm revisiting some of the films, watching the Hitler youth and the way they are being raised and the way they are being treated, and again and again and again, from former Nazi youth, they were told that the primary issue was to rid themselves of all pity, all compassion, no crying, no tears, and just to be hardened, and just to be cold, and just to be used as a fighter, and so forth. So, I mean, literally, the indoctrination is very similar when it comes to those coming out of ritual abuse. You know, don't you sit there and show any pity. Don't you sit there and cry. Don't you sit there and show compassion. The perpetrators, sub-personalities created to do the ritual work. And I'm talking about priestesses and others. It does seem like there is just absolutely no conscience. It's as, like the Bible says, as if their conscience was seared as with a hot iron. That there's just simply nothing there. I've watched that when I've been physically attacked by these individuals over the years, or threatened, or spoken to in a threatening way by leg-chained and arm-chained individuals with law enforcement standing right there. Now, in Mount Vernon, there's a man. Used to be up in this area. He'd come to see us and call us and want us to come to meet him. He was some kind of contract agent for the FBI. And he seemed to have multiplicity. As a matter of fact, as we're developing friendship and communicating one day, I asked if he wanted to go see a movie. You know, conspiracy theory about the guy that was used as an assassin and the memories covered up and all that stuff. So we're in the middle of the movie. This man jumps up and runs out of the auditorium, the theater. And I go find him, and he looks at me. He's a guy bigger than me. And I believe that if he does switch to some of the other people that were inside of him, he could be extremely dangerous. And he looks at me, and he says, You brought me here because you think that I'm like that man in the movie. And I said, well, that's not totally correct, but partially. I said, how about it? You've been telling us about all these stories of FBI and government work and covert work, and you're coming to us, and you handed me 400 files. I mean, this massive box of files upon files that have been redacted and blacked out, and all information about your work with the FBI. And I'd gone through so many pages of it, but listening to him and seeing him, we had great compassion for him. He ended up in the psych ward a few times, and we'd go to see him there and again drive with him in places and listen to what he has to say and his connection with his mother and spiritism and remote viewing and psychic astral projection and all kinds of other things that were involved. Everything was reading Shadow Regime, cover-up, hidden stuff. They messed this man up badly, and they know it, in contacting one of the federal officers. You know, his response to a field agent or a contract agent was, we can neither confirm nor deny. This exact same person was at the hospital that very day visiting this guy in the psych ward, handing him a black rosary. But when I call him on the phone, of course, he didn't know I knew, and I was at the hospital to visit. So if he doesn't know him, if he's not a part, anyway, we have the box, and we have files and files and files, and by this time, my daughter, you know, she's 9, 10 years old, and she's, you know, learning about some of this stuff a little bit, hearing about some of this stuff over the years. So she's desiring to look through the FBI files with a friend of hers, just as a project, like a school project, and so I allow her to go through, because most, again, is all blacked out. And she comes to me hours later with pages. She says, look, the guy you're talking about, he must have a subpersonality writing the report to his federal, you know, superior officer about himself. See, the guy had a code name. And the interesting thing is, we found parts of the pages that were not blacked out where, let's just say, a subpersonality named Jojo, codenamed Jojo, is writing a report about the main person. Let's call him Bob. That's not his real name. He's writing a report about Bob. He's saying to the federal officer, the one in charge, he's saying, well, Bob did this and Bob did that and Bob did this okay and Bob doesn't know about this and Bob doesn't know what happened over here. Jojo is the created subpersonality that is trained to infiltrate and operate as a kind of field agent and bring the report back, all the while Bob, the main person, is supposed to be completely amnesiac. Now stop there for a moment. Maybe you didn't listen to yesterday, and I'll mention again yesterday, G.H. Estabrooks, world-renowned psychologist, psychiatrist, in the bad sense, bad guy. We read his book material, I got it, and it's about how they learned how, with soldiers, how to cause and create subpersonalities. How to then train those subpersonalities in the air to how to do assassination, killing. Sow disinformation, to do recon and be like a spy so that the main person is amnesiac, doesn't even know that they have a subpersonality. The subpersonality is the one that takes the orders from the military handler and takes and gives the reports and takes the assignment. And the upfront host main person is amnesiac. Let me give you an example. Maybe you've watched this on Montel or one of the talk shows on television you've seen where the hypnotist comes in and he hypnotizes everybody. And he's literally hypnotizing everybody. And he has all this crowd on the stage and they're all doing crazy things. And all of a sudden he pulls over a big old guy, looks like he weighs 300 pounds, big old football player looking guy. And he has him hypnotized and under. And so as the hypnotist, he's the operator. He speaks and says, "You're a 12-year-old ballerina, and you have a pink tutu on, and now it's time for you to dance." So this massive 300-pound big guy begins to act like and try to dance like a little ballerina in a pink tutu. Audience is laughing. Everybody's cracking up. Everything, you know. And he has him do a lot of other things along with the other people. It's embarrassing. Don't ever let yourself be hypnotized, by the way. Ever. It opens doors. Obviously, it separates conscious mind from a level of unconscious. It allows somebody to bypass your ability to really make collective, unified decision with the ability to discern and to have choice. So you're literally being bypassed to where someone from the outside is just reading into you anything they want. Listen, on stage, they can make one guy be Elvis. They can make one guy be an alien and speak in alien languages. They can literally, under that hypnosis, make people do all kinds of stuff. And let me tell you something. This is a fact. They can make a person, if they're in trance deep enough, do anything. When I went to the Mind Control Conference in Richmond, Virginia, with Corey Dunn-Hammond and Alan Shefton, back at the big famous Green Bomb speech, I was there. I listened to them, interacted with psychologists and many others that were there, and it was very clear from Corey Dunn-Hammond, as mentioning to all the different folks in that Richmond Mind Control Conference back in the early 90s, that... Listen now, he himself said it, that people on a general basis believe that, you know, you can't hypnotize just anybody, but if you do hypnotize somebody, you can't hypnotize them to do something against their will. He acknowledged that's a lie, that's a farce. All the people in the room agreed with him that if you bring them down deep in trance far enough, you can get them to kill, you can get them to be a prostitute, you can get them to do anything. You then just simply on the outside are ordering them what to do. You literally you are imposing will. You are projecting will. Now, the football player guy, the big guy, after you say to him, on the count of three, you're going to feel refreshed and we're going to come out of this, you know, trance, and you're not going to remember anything. One, two, three, the football player, of course, comes back. The audience is clapping. The football player's looking around, doesn't know what occurred. He lost time. He doesn't know what happened in the last 10 minutes. So the hypnotist says, well, we made you dance around as if you had a pink tutu on, like a 12-year-old. We had you sing. We had you, you know, all these things. And the football player is saying, no, you didn't. He doesn't believe it. Then they show him the video. Of course, he's laughing. It's embarrassing and so forth. I mean... It's literally like that on a fixed level when it comes to creating subpersonalities. Programming is imposing will in the subpersonality, whether it's the old ways of psychic driving or loop taped or screen from video information, whatever's being pumped into them. Literally, the person that splits and creates the subpersonality can begin to say, you know, what your name is. It's like raw personality. It's like there's nothing there, and they got to start from scratch and tell them, this is who you are, and this is what you're going to be, and you're going to be an assassin, or this one's going to be a recon expert, or you're going to be a spy, or you're going to be a ritual priestess, or you're going to be a runner, or you're going to be an informant, or you're going to be on and on and on and on. They can create, and I have dealt with even personalities that believed that they were a tiger. Personalities that were trained to mock or to act like they were a demon and they weren't. I've dealt with so many types of subpersonalities. Every one of them that had been purposely created, all of what they were, and at that moment, what was projected into them. What was programmed, how they were put down and taken out and trained and again and again and again. So in the cases that we're talking about, and the cases that make it very hard for law enforcement and for the feds, I'm convinced in working with federal officers in the past and maybe currently, in law enforcement places that we've been all over, even in the academies and so forth, and in dealing with this, it is very, very hard to nail down a person when it's really the sub-personality in them that did the crime. You see, the one that's amnesic, the one that has no memory, the person, the main person living in life, say Bob is out there living his life and doing the stuff and that's all he knows, he has no memory of what the inside purposely created sub-personality, JoJo, who has the programming, who has the assignment, who is the spy or whatever he is, and who's reporting to the handlers, whether in the feds or the CIA or military or DIA or wherever they might be. Now, why are we even talking about this? And maybe the question would be, why are you interested, and why, by God's sovereign providence, are you listening right now? Because this involves not just a local thing, but because they now have thousands and thousands of cases in Russia, millions in Europe, in the UK. The question is, it's one thing if two or three or four of these people were made and created, like the Candy Jones story and the CIA and the creation of a sex slave. And that's what they do to this very day. Matter of fact, the reports are, and we've seen this, you know, they could have sub-personalities to run drugs. The main person doesn't know what they're doing. They could be just living, they could be working at the library and get a call that triggers the sub-personality to come and meet the handler. The handler gives them the assignment. The sub-personality has everything hidden. I cannot tell you how many times when we get down to talking to sub-personalities, they take us to locations. They take us to where they're hiding things. They take us to lockboxes. They take us to places where things are buried, where storage bins are, where they show us where the ritual material is. The main person had no idea. They didn't know where any of it was, and they didn't even have the memory. See, the memory was not encoded in the main person. The events of life for the main person is just what they're doing, working at the library or working, you know, at McDonald's or whatever they're doing, being a regular soldier, being a regular officer, because there are multiples. We call them chosen ones. They can be in, well, they're all throughout military. They're in law enforcement. This guy that showed us his paperwork is very clear. He was some kind of field agent for the FBI. It was very clear that he created enormous bizarre scenes. But I wondered after a while whether that was part of the game, whether he was supposed to act crazy, all the while reconning us. See, a couple of our staff picked up the fact that, you know what, he's not here to tell us stuff. There's people inside of him that are reconning all that we're doing. He wants to go everywhere. He wants to be a part of our team. He wants to get in and know everything. He wants to see all of our files. He's giving us files so that we'll give him files. What's really happening here is that we're looking at an outside person that may be amnesic to everything, but an inside sub-personality is reconning us. That's happening all the time when people listen to the live show and to some of the downloads. Sometimes I'll get from a sub-personality, you know, some kind of, you know, scathing criticism. Or how do we know this? Or we better shut up. Sometimes the upfront person will write to me and say, I can't listen to your material. I get headaches. I fall asleep. I black out. You got to remember, because we've spent thousands and thousands of hours learning the hard way, trying to become smart about it all, we engaged what I believe were the finders one day. A federal officer was with me. We were looking for his wife. She had been abducted by the Circle of Dominion. It was another one of these, plotted things that this group did with the sub-personalities inside of her. So we're looking for her all over. I've got the federal officer with me. We stop at a restaurant area. There's a massive, big, gigantic, blacked-out old bus. Flat black. I mean, just totally. On the front of it, it says Maniac. Inside, three or four men that look like former military. Sitting at a table, there's six or seven girls, little girls, and a couple of women, all looking like they have tattered, old-looking clothing on. All looking petrified, silent, eating their meal, not looking up. They're the only ones in the restaurant. I walked in to go to the restroom purposely to go see. I walked back. Obviously, the guys, they sat there frozen, observing what I'm doing. We're outside the front of the restaurant with the federal officer pointing at the black bus. More urgent to him was to find his wife, and so I said, we'll call Stadies. And so we get in our car to go find the wife, and I'm having them call the Stadies locally to go get this bus and search it. You know why? 3 days prior to this event, during the rituals of St. James, we have this individual. I get a phone call from Berea Youth for Christ towards Cleveland. They tell me they've got someone that is highly demonized out of the satanic ritual world, and they want to bring this person down to me. I've never met these guys before, but they heard of me somehow. And so they come down from that Cleveland area, about five or six of them, with this individual. The individual goes on and on and on about how they've got a powerful demon named Python in them, and that nobody can get them out, nobody can get Python out of them, and that they've been to all these ministries. They mentioned Mike Warnke. They mentioned all kinds of ministries that nobody could get the demon Python out of them. And so we're getting ready to do this big deliverance. The room is packed out. They all want to see what's going to happen. I don't feel the demonic right then and there. I don't feel it at all. But I've learned what to do along the way. So I say, okay, let's begin to pray. And so we begin to pray and commanding any demonic presence to come up. And all of a sudden, Python, this big voice comes out. I am Python. You will not defeat me. You know, all this kind of stuff. And all I said instantly was this: you're not a demon. And it's, again, deer in the headlights look from a demon. I mean, this is supposed to be a demon. And says to me, looks at me, yes, I am. And I said, no, you're not. They said, yes, I am. This kind of scenario occurred two or three times now over the years. I looked at them and I said, no, you're not. Yes, I am. And I said, okay, do something supernatural. Speak backwards, move something off the wall, do something supernatural. They didn't act like a real demon. They didn't feel like one. So I finally said, no, you're not. You're just a human personality trained to act this way, to play games of diversion, and to waste time and effort. Their shoulders slumped down. Their voice went from that grovelly, I am the demon, to, how'd you know this? They looked right at me and said, how'd you know? I said, well, we've been down this road before. I sensed it before we began. Everything you're doing is a diversion. Everything you're doing is a lie. Finally, they began to confess what they're really doing. They've been brought in on a bus. They've come down from New York. They're part of satanic ritual groups where there's training on triggering, on splitting, on creating personalities. This was a woman that was probably 30 years old, but looked like she was 60 in her face. But she was dressed like little Bo Peep. Believe it or not, I'm telling you the truth. Dressed like a little, 14-year-old, probably because she was going to be used again and again and again in prostitution. We had a number of meetings with this individual. We did a lot of follow-up and surveillance. You know what we found out? Here's what occurred once. And this is years ago. They're at an office in my home that I had years ago. I had a team there and other people there. My daughter was in another room in another part of the house. Well, this individual said they had the demon Python, wants to get out and go to the restroom. So two of my people take this person up to a restroom. But as they're going by one of the rooms, my daughter comes up the stairs around the corner and stands right in front of this girl, this chosen one. Out of the mouth comes a male voice that says, we'd love to eat you. And the two people that were there just simply grabbed a hold of the woman and moved her on and told me about it. We ended, along with that case, ever having folks around like that again. This individual, you know what they did when we tracked them? They had these Christians up there in Berea giving this girl shelter in a home, feeding her, While she was there, she stole all kinds of objects. She used the telephone that was down there, downstairs, making long-distance calls and giving reports to somebody. As a matter of fact, when we engaged her on it, we made her open her big, like, backpack thing she had, and sure enough, she gave all the items back. She was completely playing a game with the Christians, dealing with their vulnerabilities and their compassion, which we do have compassion in. She was using all of that only to gain objects and food and to play that game and to see how far they could go and maybe even create, well, corruption or play the game. Maybe she thought we would do it for 13, 14 hours and try to get Python out. You can't use the authority of Christ on sub-personalities. It doesn't work. It's not meant for that. When I engaged this person and talked to them again and again, they, of course, were under threat. They had to go back to the bus. Now, 3 days later, when this other case is going on, and the federal officer's wife is abducted or gone again, and we're hearing threats, and we had phone calls come in, then all of a sudden, we're up there in the Cleveland area, off the interstate, and we engage a bus, a black bus. Took down the plates. You know, I gave the plate numbers and asked them to run it. I said, whatever you do, find this bus. Because all those girls look unrelated. All of them look abused. Everything about that. Now, the girl with the Python demon, she tells me 3 days in advance, you know, on that bus, they got AKs. On that bus, you know, they have enforcers. So I report all of that. They didn't find the bus anywhere. They didn't really look very well in Ohio. But the license plates led to a location in Youngstown, Ohio. Youngstown, here we come. Were they that old group, the Finders? Down in Mount Vernon, they haven't found the three others that are probably dead, maybe cut up. I don't know what's going on for sure. I might go down and locate my old federal friend that has the sub-personalities and see what that's going to do. Maybe he, if he's listening, can contact us again. By the way, if you're listening tonight, we're doing a little bit off the cuff about cold cases, ritual abuse, memory, some of the old cases, some of the ones we're working on. There's so much to do, and the prayerful decision right now is whether we recruit others who are willing to be as strong and as powerful as a believer in Christ they can possibly become, with great integrity, with nothing that's going to be causing trouble as far as in their character. But they're going to have skills and abilities, and they're going to need to know what it is to battle in a broad way spiritually. I don't know if you know what time it is, the final hour, the last of the days, all of the ones of us that know that conspiracy and a globalism that's being built, it's not just smoke and mirror, though on the surface of things, that's what they'd love everybody to think. The shadow regime, as biblically predicted, is clearly developing on a global scale. All that is necessary. I mean, the doctors, the mill labs, in law enforcement, in government, in churches, and, well, dealing even with this one factor. Why? And I'm going to ask this question. I'll do it in point four. I have 4 points I'm going to give you tonight. But under point four, when it comes to the DID, MPD, you know, human beings who have been transmuted, where their personalities have been split, sub-personalities been created, and those sub-personalities that are listening right now, send a letter if you need to send a letter. I get letters unmarked, you know, as far as returns and where it came from. There are some of you that can call the alert line. 4 or 5 of you in the last month have done this. There are sub-personalities, and I'm going to say this to the psychologists and psychiatrists and the pastors and those who are out there helping victims. Because in the beginning stages, and you're hearing some of the stories, usually it's little ones inside telling you stuff. And the reason that not everything is coming out is because of the programming, the threat, the containment of memory in subpersonalities, and even the demonization. So let me go over some of this, and I'm going to say that I believe the Finder's case, the Franklin cover-up case, the McMartin school case. Hey, the back there, McMartin school case, how many years, 15 years involvement? All these children begin to come home, and the first one that goes to the hospital, to the doctor, is checked for sexual abuse. And I think it's been very clear that there's physical abuses that went on. I think that the investigators in the early days, when it came to ritual abuse and all the methods that are used, did not know how to look for the trace evidences, did not know how to penetrate this issue. Please understand, in law enforcement, federal cases and local cases, like the one in Mount Vernon right now, Ohio, they haven't found the three other individuals yet. Now, I'm sure in this case, I'm sure they're going to find them. But you've got to understand, there are cases where they've never found the people. There are missing children on your milk cartons that have never been found. There are cases by the thousands that have never been solved. Right now, there's a case with a girl locally here that had her hands cut off on a ritual holiday, the Hands of Glory. And though they have the man in jail and prison and so forth, and though there's appeal, that Brett Hartman case here in Akron, Ohio, is one we are involved in and still taking a look at. The Jackie Cooper case of the little girl confessed, the ritual abuse. I mean, she had broken bones, a number of broken bones, and 40-some little stab wounds on her feet and occult symbols tattooed without the ink in the side of her head. She was about 13 months old. Little picture of her on our website, shatterthedarkness.net. When you click on it, one of our volunteers who works in the area of PI has put up the information about it and also linked it to another case we're directly involved again with. That is the ritual murder, possibly, of little Lewis and where it happened. So we go visit Friday night trying to find an old law enforcement friend to see if he will get involved and go to the house, the place where the blood may be, even after all these years. So we're involved in that case. Then there's the two girls slaughtered out in a field, a 14-year-old and a 17-year-old. To this day, when I go into thinking through it and thinking through the mother of the one girl, the mother and father of the other girl, it brings me to tears. It burns my britches. It makes me mad that even though I gave the information in the beginning about the individual that was involved, and even the federal officer that I talked to the other day asked the question, why hasn't anybody done anything? That's my question. Why hasn't anybody? Because in dealing with a human being who has an upfront part of them that is amnesic to, that is, they don't have any memory, they don't know, it's been blocked because sub-personality perpetrators, just like John Wayne Gacy, just like a number of the serial rapist murderers, Dahmer. Did you know they had subpersonalities? Did you know the case in Madame Morse where the woman priestess was brought in, that she had multiple personalities? That it's not the upfront person usually that does the crime. It's the subpersonalities that live in the secret place, that live in secrecy, that live maybe demonized. Now, how does a federal officer or a local officer deal with a sub-personality, highly trained, demonized, able to submerge within and hold all the memory? Did you know when you do a lie detector test on a person like that, if the main host person is up and they don't hold any memory of anything wrong, that they've done anything wrong, and they're asked all these questions, they're going to pass the lie detector test. Sometimes a voice stress test. You see, subpersonalities can be co-conscious, listening in while you're questioning the main person. They're listening to what you're going to do. They're listening to the question. They're listening to how you're going to approach the whole thing. They're reconning you to take the information so they can better hide, stay undetected, and give the information to anybody else involved in any crime. Let me say to all feds and all local law officers or PIs or investigators, or let me say to counselors and those working with multiples, DID, MPD, SRA, whatever you want to call that, that when you're talking to the main person or even a sub-personality, usually a home-created little one, and whatever you say in the room is being heard by darker, more able sub-personalities within. They're going to recon you and take all the information and give it to whoever their handlers are or coven. They're going to give information out so that phone calls can be made with threats, so that things can be put into motion, so that ritual warfare can be used. And I know that feds and local officers aren't trained. And many would not even believe, oh, listen, spiritual stuff can't stop us. Like one officer sitting in with the captain and a detective, and the federal officer's wife is a victim, and she simply says, how are you going to protect me? And he pats his 45 and says, well, with this, I'll protect you with this. One officer comes to me after a police academy training and pulls me aside and said, I was involved in this one case that involved voodoo. And the voodoo priestess, because we dealt with the crime stuff, said and put a spell or a curse, they did something against me. They were concerned. Now, a lot of people laugh that off. And again, skeptics can't help anybody. Skeptics, in that sense, will not know the motivating factors behind ritual killing. And I'm going to say, whether you believe it or not, that I'm absolutely convinced that the major reason why more cases are not broken into and that uncontested evidences are not gotten, the number one reason is because of the real supernatural powers that are summoned and used to keep it all hidden. Anyone that's a believer in law enforcement or the feds or military at the Presidio going after Michael Aquino, in all those investigations of the past and the finders and so forth, they're doing all that they know to do in sophisticated secrecy. You know, what crime networks and criminal networks and pedophiles and drug lords do. But they are also summoning powers, like in the Matamoros case, like in most of all the cases of drug runners and drug running from Mexico to America. They're summoning, you know, the saint of death, Santa Muerte, and the powers. See, I have no question the powers are real. I have no question in dealing with victims that when we've prayed and found demonic presence, broken that presence, kicked the demonic out, all of a sudden, 5, 10, 20 other personalities begin to come up and talk, tell the information, take us to the places. All of a sudden, breakthrough occurs. Let me tell you this right now, those that are perpetrators listening, coven members that are listening, they know that I'm telling the truth. They know they count on their powers. That's what the Hands of Glory is all about. Doing that ritual summons powers to gain, listen now, to gain the powers of invisibility. The summoning of demons and the empowerment in the Matamoros case made the cult members who were sacrificing human beings, eating them. One man was wearing the human spine of a American college student around his neck as a trophy. You have no idea, unless you read into that case, or the Ripper case, all the cases, the ones that we know of, they're summoning the dark powers to go against law enforcement, to divert them, to get them out of the way, to have other helpers do the same and divert. And is there real power in that to keep them hidden, to keep them secretive? Well, let me tell you something. If you're somebody that believes in worldwide globalist conspiracy, if you believe that the prince of the power of the air, the fallen cherub, is behind it, if you believe 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that a secret power of lawlessness is already operative, then you understand that it will take a supernatural sovereign cutting knife to break through and to help solve cases, stop perpetrators, and help find a rescue for victims. And if there are those that are saying amen to this, then join in this project. I urge you to go shatterthedarkness.net, look where it says Dark Rituals, Dark Powers. Begin to go through that series. To the left, there's a course, Confronting the Powers. All of it's now free. Begin to equip yourself. Learn about it. If you're law enforcement on any level, or of an investigator at any level, and you're involved in these kind of cases, even if you're not a believer, find people that you know are real believers in Christ that will pray for you and pray for God's hand and pray for... You know why I say that? Let me give you one example. I got to go to the 4 points quickly then. Ezekiel 8. It is very clear that a real ritualistic, serpent-worshipping, human-sacrificing, blood-oriented, drinking, you know, group of individuals was hidden deeply down into the cavern in the city of God, right close to where the prophet of God was. And the prophet of God didn't know. And that's why I'm saying pastors and leaders and preachers, you can, you know, everybody wants to put blame. Listen, they're living in satanic secrecy. That is their mode of operation. That is what they do. They're laced. They are covered in this presence. And in the case of Ezekiel chapter 8, it's clear God wanted it to be found out. It is clear that God, by his power, simply and easily cut through and led the prophet, who was willing to go look, go in and see the horrific, detestable things that were being done. If, like in Ezekiel 8, you're willing, if you believe God can open a supernatural hole into the substructure of radical evil, then get busy. Get busy. We're going to have some local recruiting up here. If you're interested in really being recruited and being used in this kind of area, well, then email us or, you know, call the alert line at least. ShadowTheDarkness.net, right-hand side, you scroll down, there's a contact. You know, just click on it. You'll find a snail mail, an email. 4 points concerning the cold cases when it comes to McMartin, and I don't believe that's over. There were way too many child victims, and let me tell you why. Number one, evidences. Number one, the issue of evidences. We want evidences. We want trace evidence. We want factual stuff. We want uncontested evidences. We're praying for that. We're asking God for that. Obviously, when God led Ezekiel in, he gave him uncontested, blatant evidence. And I've seen enough slides. We've been involved in this long enough that it can be found. If it's really there, it can be found. But it's going to take people that are willing and to be led by God and to know the power that they really need, along with whatever skills in this area. It'll involve law enforcement because of the crime involved. It'll involve healing and help, and only Jesus can save and heal and deliver when it comes to the victims or anybody else listening. Maybe you're law enforcement. You've worked in these areas. You know, like that detective that worked in the McMartin school case, and just before he's going to testify that the children were telling the truth, that it all really did occur. He's found 5:45 a.m. in the morning, bullet hole in his head. He had a wife and a young daughter that he loved. Nobody thought he was suicidal. And they say he committed suicide. Did he really? I know officers can be deeply burdened by cases. But I know that Jesus, who hung on the cross and shed his blood. Well, listen, is he your Savior? Do you know his presence? Do you know that he can comfort you? Do you know that he can come near to the brokenhearted? That's where the healing, that's where the strength, that's where I find my strength. When Jackie was killed, there's times I still say if we could have, if only, but they did everything they could to hide her. They had an opportunity to get out. God gave us, led us to them, and gave us, through us, an opportunity for the mother to get out. We were willing to take the mother and the two children in. And then she just simply disappeared with the guy that did the killing, and she was involved. Evidences. praying for the evidences, looking for the evidences in the area of ritual abuse. In all these cases that I mentioned, Finders, McMartin, Franklin cover-up, the Presidio, in local cases all over, in all the ritual abuse cases, the memory is there. Now, I'm going to talk about memory. Point number two, memory. Like in hypnotism, G.H. Estabrooks said it clearly in weaponizing this for the military, that they could create subpersonalities, and the main person they can keep them from knowing, keep them from ever knowing that they used their physical body by the work of the subpersonality in killing people and doing whatever else, spying, and the main person wouldn't even know they did it. Amnesic. Secondly, the issue of drugs. In many of the cases, drugs are given to a level. Any of you that used to drink and do drugs, you know what it is, you know, some of you maybe know what it is to black out. And you know what? Memory isn't encoded. Memory is encoded by the effect, by how hard, by how dramatic, by, you know, we got all the memory coming in, everything's coming in, but the stuff that's really big, really like if your memory was clay and you pounded it with your fist, there's a big imprint. But if you drink and drugs are given, the memory cannot encode the way it should. So you lose memory when you're drunk, when you're blacked out, when you're on drugs. You did things. You slept with somebody. Sometimes you even fight or commit a crime and you say, I don't know what I did. In the cases of subpersonalities, the subpersonalities can be triggered up, do a crime, kill someone, do ritual stuff, do sexual abuse to another child, go back down, and the main person doesn't even know they missed time, has no idea. It's not in their part. All the memory in a multiple is segmented. Only the personalities separately hold memories in the beginning. Like beach balls, for a lot of people, memories, like the ones in the McMartin case. A lot of them that are getting older now, a lot of those memories like beach balls are down there. And as long as they hold them back and never want to remember it, never want to think about it, never want to go there, but somewhere along the line, like in a lot of abuse cases and ritual abuse cases, late 20s, early 30s, those little beach balls that have all that toxic memory begin to surface. Flashbacks, panics, fear, fright. So a lot of it can be hidden. Threats can hide them. Subpersonalities can hide it. Programming can hide it. Other subpersonalities inside to create denial and diversion. That's number three, diversion, cover-up. Drugs involved, locations, masks, threats. People that have subpersonalities to pop up and give disinformation or denial. And then fourthly, well, let me just say thirdly again on this last moment. Diversion and cover-up, we have learned the hard way, you know, back in the 80s and the 90s. Calling for victims to come on out and tell, calling for perpetrators to repent. Bring out the uncontested evidences. Let's do it. The Lord Jesus bless you. Hey, remember us in prayer. Remember us in support. God bless you. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net.